lots of concepts nobody ever thought would work ended up making pretty decent television shows. I mean, who thought a single fictitious plane crash could lead to half a dozen seasons of Lost on ABC? Then there's Mystery Science Theater 3000, essentially a collection of bad science fiction films narrated by a guy and two robots who appear in silhouette in a corner of the screen. The last new episode of MST3K came and went more than 15 years ago, but its creator is working on a comeback, and he's got plenty of support. Joel Hodgson is the creator and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good to have you here. Fairly Thank humble you. Beginnings, I understand, for Mystery Science Theater 3000. Tell us the birth story.
Oh, yeah, and it is a birth story, and it turns out I'm the mother of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I had a career as a stand-up comedian. I did shows like Saturday Night Live and Letterman and the Young Comedian Special. And I got a little disillusioned with Hollywood, and I decided to go back to Minneapolis where I was from, and I felt like that would be a better low-stress place to make a TV show. And we started making the show locally on a UHF channel in Minneapolis. KTMA, and we did 22 episodes, and that's really where movie riffing was born. That's where we figured it all out. It was kind of like a way to get the show on its feet and figure it out. So when we finally sold it to the Comedy Channel, which then became Comedy Central, we kind of had it figured out.
So movie riffing, is it scripted or is it ad-libbed as you and the other people are watching the movie?
Well, when we started, of course, this is a long time ago. This is 27 years ago, and we weren't that sophisticated. So the concept of trying to write down your riffs just didn't make any sense. It's almost like the movie was like a moving target. So as much as we wanted to, it wasn't very clear how to do that. And finally, once we got paid to do it, once we brought it to Comedy Central, I kind of realized, oh, now we really have to figure out a way to write this. And that's when we started writing it. And there's a marked difference between the quality of the riffs from when we were just kind of thinking up stuff off the top of our heads and actually writing stuff. So I think that's really when Mystery Science Theater took off and kind of worked for people. Now it's all over the place. There's groups that riff live and spontaneously. There's groups that write it. But just traditionally for Mystery Science Theater, we write them just because there's so many riffs. There's 800 per movie.
Wow.
And so if you get in the way of someone, you know, if you kind of go out of sequence, you'll get in the way of someone else's riff.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is an overall storyline involving mad scientists and the Gizmonic Institute, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I felt like when I was putting it together, if it was just three guys sitting in a theater, if they didn't like the movie, why didn't they just leave? So I had to kind of backwards engineer a reason why they had to watch these bad movies. And that's what happened. It became a guy trapped in space with these mad scientists monitoring him and sending him bad movies. And to kind of deal with it, he created these robots to keep him company.
And so to do the riffing, once you began turning this into a scripted thing, how many times do you have to watch the movies to come up with good riffs on them?
Well, you know, this is back in the day when we made MST. You know, as you mentioned, it hasn't been made in over 15 years. But the process back then was to watch it at least 8 times total from the beginning to the end of the production process. So sometimes those times would be just screening the movie. Sometimes they're writing the riffs. Sometimes they're annotating the riffs and putting them in sequence. Sometimes it's you're watching it as you're performing it. So that's kind of, it's 8 passes on the movie usually.
Wow, that is a lot of time spent watching some, and then, you know, but talk about the criteria for picking a movie to show on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It's all over the place. I think there are a lot of movies that aren't good enough for us to riff on because they just don't do the basic job of telling a story, or the sound could be bad, or the picture's bad. So there are things like, just technical things like that, that you have to be alert to. Like, you just can't make jokes on what people are saying if you can't hear what they're saying. So those are kind of behind the curtain kind of things, but most of the time it's really wide open. Even at KTMA, we did all manner of movies, not just bad monster movies, but westerns and disaster movies and you know, procedural crime drama movies. So it kind of works with everything.
Joel Hodgson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He calls himself the mother of Mystery Science Theater 3000. He's trying to bring the cult classic TV show back through crowdfunding and is making some significant progress along the way. We'll get up to that in a moment. Join us on the Exchange if you have memories, fond memories of MST3K, or maybe not so fond memories, whichever. 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Joel, how surprised were you that people got so into the show and that it was actually able to make the leap from local small station to national cable?
You know, I guess I would contend that you make a TV show because you think people will like it. It's not like a second thought, like, oh, man, I'm really surprised people like it. Mm-hmm. But I am really grateful, obviously, that people do like it, and it's had such a nice long life. I mean, it was 27 years old on Thanksgiving Day. So I'm really grateful for that, and I think the more, you know, I guess I'll leave my answer at that. I'm pretty good with that answer.
Okay. It did win a Peabody Award, which is usually reserved for journalistic organs, isn't it?
They do them for certain TV programs, get them. But, yeah, again, that was a really big honor, and that was a surprise, actually, getting that.
So the personnel did change over time, not just the robots, but the living people, too. When and why did you leave Mystery Science Theater 3000?
I just felt it was time to go. I always believed that, you know, the show was designed to be refreshed, and so I was okay with that. But I just felt like the climate, there was a certain amount of friction at the when we were working, and I wanted to avoid that. I really felt like you have to be in a good mood to movie riff, and so I didn't think I should be in that position if I wasn't having a good time.
Mm-hmm. What was the easiest movie to riff of all the ones you ever did that you can remember?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. I think the ones that, you know, kind of over time, there's certain titles that have emerged that are fan favorites. I don't really have a memory. I do happen to have a memory of the hardest one to riff.
Uh-huh.
But the ones that are easiest, I think, are the ones that kind of emerge and people really like. A few examples would be, there's a Joe Don Baker movie called Mitchell that people love. There's one from Czechoslovakia called Pod People, which is kind of an impersonation of the movie E.T. And then there's also movies like Final Sacrifice and another movie called Werewolf. These are the movies that just over time people pick out as their favorite. So I think something was going right, and we obviously were really enjoying ourselves because it just probably shows. The movie that was the hardest, conversely, is a movie called Manos, The Hands of Fate, which is also a pretty famous title for us. But I think it's just germane to that particular movie because this movie has quite a unusual environment that it creates, and I think that's what people really love about it. I don't think we're particularly funny in it compared to our other movies, but there's just something about Manos that people really react to.
Manos, The Hands of Fate. We're talking to Joel Hodgson on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, which he's trying to revive through crowdfunding. Here's a call from John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Tell me about This Island Earth. When I watched that, I was in stitches. I laughed so hard. It was so funny. It's an old-fashioned you know, 1950s sci-fi, but tell us about it, okay?
Thanks, John.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. This Island Earth was the Mystery Science Theater feature film, and actually the new episodes are going to be, you know, similar in that This Island Earth was the first widescreen movie that was riffed on MST3K. And it's a really strong riff. I mean, that's probably what you're reacting to. It's like, you know, I just think that's a super strong riff. But yeah, I've been looking at that one lately just because I think it has a lot of similarities between the new movies we're riffing now, because all the movies we're going to do now are the aspect ratio is wider, so you're going to be able to see a lot more of the screen, which is something I'm really looking forward to, because that's what you need to make riffs. The more you see, the more you can riff.
Were you satisfied with MST3K being dead and buried? I mean, obviously not, I guess, because here you are talking about it again and trying to get it back.
Oh, yeah. It was frustrating, but again, the thing that was most frustrating was that I was kind of hoping that there'd be a chance to roll over and have a new host and kind of refresh the cast. And that never got to happen because it got canceled. And so I think people got into kind of a pattern, like, you know, because we didn't get to that third iteration, the third host and the new people running the robots, that I think it was just kind of, there's an ongoing Joel versus Mike discussion. And I wish that would have happened because we could have avoided all that. So now we've got a third guy in there. A comic named Jonah Ray, who's really brilliant, and he's really up for it. So it's going to be very interesting.
So did you have to jump through any hoops to get the rights to the program? I mean, it's been 16 years since
episode. Yeah, I'm partners with Shout Factory, and it took us 5 years to get the rights.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of lawyer time.
You know it is. You have to get friendly with the lawyers.
What have you been doing since you left the show?
Oh, my goodness. I think most recently I've gotten to do voices on a bunch of cartoons. And also this last, about a year ago, I was on a show called Other Space, which was created by Paul Feig. And Paul Feig is a big-time director now, who's a friend of mine, who's doing the new Ghostbusters movies.
Is that the one Yahoo put out?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Other Space was on Yahoo Screen. We did eight episodes, and that was really fun. So those are kind of the latest things in the last year. I'm also, I do a voice on a show currently called Steven Universe, which is a beautiful cartoon by a woman named Rebecca Sugar.
So you're crowdfunding the return of MST3K, and how far have you gotten? What's the goal, and how far along are you?
Oh, it's going well. We have our last day is Friday. The crowdfunding campaign has been 30 days or 31 days. We start on November 10th. We just crossed the $4 million threshold. I think we're at $4.2 million. And the idea is we're trying really hard to get into what I call the red zone, which is an analogy from football. We want to get to 80% with 2 days to spare. So it looks like we're going to make it. We have to get to $4.4 million. Then we'll be in the red zone, and then it's wide open. But we have a good chance of getting we get our goal of 12 episodes, and this will be the first time. I think it's like going to be a bit of a record. It'll be the first time the crowdfunding campaign has paid for an entire season of a TV show.
And who's going to carry it?
Oh, I don't know yet. You know, we have to do once the crowdfunding's done, we have to kind of start talking to people. But it's been pretty positive from what I've heard. It worked really good as a marketing tool.
I can imagine it getting snapped up by somebody. We're talking to Joel Hodgson, the mother, as he puts it, of Mystery Science Theater 3000, MST3K, the crowdfunding campaign going on until the end of this week. Joel, best of luck, and thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.